Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I love Labor Day weekend. 3-day weekend. But kind of on a sad note, not many people know what Labor Day is about. In fact, if I asked you, do you know when Labor Day started? Could anybody tell me? Yeah, I said it yesterday, yeah. And you forgot. 1894. Why did we get Labor Day? Because big corporations and big management abused the laborer. If you were a laborer in the United States of America, you worked minimum 6 days a week, 12-hour days. And if you did not work those hours, there was somebody right behind you ready to take your spot because of all the immigration happening in America. And there was abuse. It wasn't good for families. It wasn't good for marriages. And so the government stepped in and said, listen, we're going to honor the laborer. Our country was built on the backs of the laborer, and we're going to honor them with a day off. And they instigated, Congress did, Labor Day to respect and honor laborers. Well, today the culture has changed. Today, we have a 40-hour week, or that's what we say, and we kind of just have forgotten what Labor Day is all about. For us, it's the end of summer, it's the big bash, the end fling, and fall begins, you might say. Changes have occurred. Changes are always occurring. Think about all the changes in your life and in the church's life due to COVID. Yeah, wearing masks, social distancing. And think about the changes with people because of COVID. You have now protests in government agencies where people say, we got to wear a mask. Our children need a mask. And there are groups that say, no, I don't want them to wear a mask. It interferes with my free will as an American. The church has been affected by it. Shut down, no worship, go online. At our Tulsa campus, parking lot service has gone on for 2 years. People gather in the parking lot and listen on the radio. The way we conduct worship service has changed. Communion, and even how we do funerals. On a lighter note, do you hear about the funeral that took place on the gravesite in the cemetery? People would just drive by and beep their horn out of respect and honor for that person. And cars would come by, and when one guy came by, he had his windows down, and he was blaring out the song from 1980 from Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, and another one's gone, and another one's gone. And the family, boy, they were gonna get upset, but all of a sudden, another car came right behind him, windows down, blaring the same song, Another One Bites the Dust, and another one does, and another one does, and another one drives a bus. All the family could do was say, hey, 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 hey. Now, I know some of you weren't even alive in 1980, but it'll get you. On a serious note, there's a moral to that story. Someday, you will bite the dust. The Bible is very clear. Adam and Eve sinned, and God said to Adam and Eve, because of their sin, the day you eat of that flesh, you will surely die. For dust you are, and dust you will return. You see, we all have sinned. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And we all will die. That means our mortal bodies will dry up in the ground and turn to dust. How do you feel now? That's some bad news, but I have good news for you. And the good news I'd like to share with you is from the words of Isaiah, found in Isaiah 26, verse 19, which says, those who dwell in the dust, that's you folks and me someday, will arise and sing. What will we be singing? God's praises, hopefully. We'll be singing hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, he reigns. Worthy is the Lamb. But there'll be other people singing a dirge. They'll be singing and screaming in anguish and a gnashing of teeth because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we have a purpose. And we have power in a message that talks about that. And Jesus shared that with his disciples. And something happens in our scripture reading today. Something very important. Let's take a closer look at it. Would you with me? Turn once again to Mark 6, verse 7. And he, of course, this is Jesus, calls the 12. This is the 12 disciples, by the way, whom he called earlier. He said, follow me. They are the disciples. And he began to send them out two by two. This is where the disciples become apostles for the first time. That's why it says Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. The word apostle means sent out, the sent ones. So Jesus calls the disciples. It's early in their ministry, and he sends them out, you might say, early in the ministry to go out among the people. That was their purpose, and they had power. The power was the message. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It was the gospel message that John the Baptist proclaimed, that Jesus proclaimed, now the disciples proclaim. That's why he says the authority over the unclean spirits came from the word of God. Verse 8, he charged them, notice this, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. How are they going to survive? But to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Why two tunics? Well, the custom was you'd wear two tunics because you'd go out and wear the one and an extra one for at night when you slept. They didn't have that protection. Why? Because then he said to them, whenever you enter a house that Jesus was going to provide for them, stay there until you depart from there. I mean, early in the disciples' ministry, when they were sent out with that purpose and the power, God provided everything for them. Things went really well because we're told, boy, they cast out demons and people listened to them and they healed people. It was a wonderful ministry to start things off. But then something happened. Time, the culture, they were the newbies. And now they were the transgressors. They were the ones who talked to the Jews, fellow Jews. Oh, now they reached out to the Gentiles. Oh, they were the people who nobody understood. Now they understood they were Jesus followers. And the culture changed, the time changed. And then something happened. I want to share with you 3 years later when Jesus sends out the disciples. Turn with me, please, to Luke 22. Things changed. They had to change. But the purpose and the message never changed. Luke 22, 35. Luke 22, 35, page 1122. And Jesus said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise the knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Now they need a sword? For I tell you that the scriptures must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment. What changed? Time, the culture. Now they're the enemy. Now they are the ones that they must get rid of. Transgressor. They got rid of Jesus, and now they got to get rid of the disciples. Things changed. But the purpose didn't change. They were still sent as apostles, and the message did not change. It was still the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Now, this happens in our life. Let me tell you how it happened in my life. The second year before I graduated from seminary is called your vicarage year. And I was from Minnesota, I went to the seminary and they sent me to Clyle, Michigan, a very Lutheran area. And when I went to Clyle, Michigan, to that church as a vicar, they welcomed me with open arms. "Oh, vicar, it's so good to see you. Oh, well, can't wait to have you here as our vicar." I didn't have to worry about a place to stay. They had an apartment for me. I didn't have to worry about gas in my car because they gave me allowance for gas. I didn't have to worry about food because they paid me a salary and everybody invited me to their house to eat with them. I didn't have to worry about my bills at seminary. They took care of them for the whole year. I didn't have to worry about Bible study because anything I said in Bible study, people just raved. "Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Oh," and when I preached, "Oh, vicar, you're such a good preacher." They patted me on the back. Oh, I felt so good. And then evangelism night, when we'd all gather together and we'd have to go out and evangelize and knock on doors. Never did that before. And I'd knock on a door and the people would welcome me in and I'd share the gospel message and they would just be overwhelmed and I would go back. Of course, that was prearranged. That was a member I was knocking on the door. And I'd go back and we'd all talk about it and I thought I was the best evangelist on earth. Who prepared all that? The Vicarage congregation? Jesus did. The disciples went out for the first time, and boy, everything worked so smooth. It was so wonderful. And then 2 years later, this Minnesota boy is sent to Salisaw, Oklahoma. And nobody there to welcome me, because when I'd shake somebody's hand, they'd go, "You're not from around here, are you?" Because of my northern accent. The place of worship was a refurbished trailer house. Nobody knew what Lutheran was in Salisaw, Oklahoma. The church was so poor, they couldn't even send me on vacation and pay me. I had to stay because they couldn't afford a vacation that a pastor might take to fill the vacancy. I had trouble paying my bills, fixing my car, and putting food on the table for my children. Wow. What happened? Time. The culture. But my purpose never changed and the message never changed. It happens in your life. If you have children right now, or you had children in the past, think about it. Teaching them Jesus was easy, wasn't it? Bringing them to church was easy. They had to go with you. Yeah, telling them to go to Sunday school was easy. Get involved in the youth group. Hey, that was easy. Why? Because it's what you did as a family. Great success. You taught them how to pray. You taught them how to read the Bible. Wow, things are good. And then they grow older. And then they go to high school and they play sports. And then they get a car. They got to get a job, then they go off to college, and then they have their careers, they get their own life. And now you wonder, oh, and you want to talk to them about going to church, you want to talk to them about Jesus, and they don't want to listen to you. They don't want you to bother with them. Oh, it's so hard. But as a parent, you still have a purpose. You still have a message. What do? It happens in the church. The church opens its doors. And oh, they're in a community. People just come. Sunday school program is growing. The youth group is growing. The budget is there. You build a new sanctuary. Things are going so good. Then all of a sudden, time changes. The culture changes. Demographics change. And all of a sudden, the Sunday school program isn't as vibrant as. The youth program kind of goes downhill. The budget kind of goes downhill. Attendance kind of goes downhill. What happens? Culture. Pandemic. But the purpose is still the same. The message is still the same. What do? Does God have something to say to us? Well, I believe today in the gospel reading, he has so much to say to us here and now. Listen to these words. What happened when that happened with the disciples? And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Of course, this is figurative language saying, do something different. Don't keep kicking a dead horse. Shake the dust off your sandals and your feet and leave. There are more fish in the sea. You still are an apostle. You're still sent. And you still have a message to change people's lives. Don't just stay there and kick the proverbial dead horse. How does that happen in your life, personally? Let me tell you how it happens in my life. I have a daughter and a son-in-law that are not real good at getting their children to church and teaching them about Jesus. And that upsets me. And I talked to them about it, but that's like kicking a dead horse. So I changed. I shook the dust off and said, hey, I'm still Opa. I have a purpose and I have power, the word of God. And so whenever I'm with my little granddaughter, Ari, and we go out for a walk, which we do all the time, I talk about Jesus. And you know Jesus? I said, well, let's pray to Jesus to help us find feathers, because that's what we do. And we pray, and then we go out, and we find all these feathers, and oh, Jesus, thank you. And she goes, thank you, Jesus. And we have all these feathers, and we show Oma the feathers. And then when Oma talks to Ari at night, and they always tell a bedtime story, Ari mumbles a story that we don't quite understand. But my wife, Sabina, says, let me tell you a story about a little boy born in Bethlehem who saved the world. And my daughter, this is what she has to say. Well, I guess all those things you're saying to Ari works, because now all she wants to talk about is Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. Ooh. Now I could just kick the horse with my daughter and grandson. Or I can change, shake the dust off and say, I have a purpose and a message for my grandchildren. Listen, that happens in the church. You know, I was down in Salisaw. Nobody wanted to listen to me. Nobody wanted to come to a trailer house to worship. You know what I did? I had a purpose. I had a message. So I went out to the local racetrack called Blue Ribbon Downs. And I started preaching out there. They loved my accent. And they loved that this boy was from Minnesota. And I would preach at Trinity Lutheran in Salisaw. I'd drive 60 miles and go to Eufaula, Good Shepherd, and then I'd go to the racetrack. Now, the racetrack had no name, but the exact same purpose and the exact same message was proclaimed. Now, I could have said, I'm not shaking the dust. I'm going to beat this horse. No, it's time to change what Jesus is saying. As a Christian, as an apostle sent, are you reevaluating? Do you know there's a time to shake the dust off what you're doing and change direction? That's also in the church abroad, especially in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if that means anything to you. I knew a change was coming in 1978 when I went with a girlfriend of mine to a different Lutheran church. Not my church. Christmas Eve, young minister, 26 years old, was willing to preach his sermon, and he couldn't wait. And it was on the angels who said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And he stood up and he said, now listen, we know there are no angels. We know it's just a myth about angels. We know angels are a figurative image of a man who put them in there. And I was just like, what? Where am I? We went home, Christmas was ruined, and everybody said, why would the minister even say that? Here's a man. Are you proud of your denomination? Oh, I'm so proud of it. Why? Well, because we teach the Bible as God's word from cover to cover. It's inerrant and it's inspired. And if the Bible says it, whether I believe it or not, that settles it. Another man says, oh, I'm so proud of my denomination. We know that the Bible was influenced by the culture over the years. We know that the Bible contains error and contradicts itself. And thank God we are in a position in our life now that we can tell you what's really the word of God from the Bible. The other man says, oh, we hold the sanctity of marriage according to Jesus. A man will leave his father and mother, Jesus said, and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. A man will leave his father and mother. And what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Listen, we know that Jesus said, love one another. And if a woman wants to love a woman and get married, that's okay. If a man wants to love another man, that is okay. The culture says it's okay. Sodom and Gomorrah was about people who didn't live in committed relationships. We know that. The sanctity of life. All life is holy and sacred. And we shall not murder. We shall not stop a beating heart. And we believe life begins at conception. We know that a woman has a right to her body. And we know that fetus is just flesh. Science tells us that. And the culture says it's okay to abort. And so we follow that and we believe it. A woman has a right to choose. Oh, we believe that every major incident in the Bible, there are angels. Jesus himself talked about angels. So Jesus believed in angels. We believe in angels. Oh, we know that when Jesus talked about angels, it was figurative language. It wasn't real. Boy, you two are miles apart, night and day. Tell me, what is your denomination? Lutheran. Tell me what your denomination is. Lutheran. Now you know why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod dusted their sandals and feet off. And they no longer had altar and pulpit fellowship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America or the American Lutheran Church. Why? Because we're so far apart. The only thing we have in common is a name. And that becomes a stumbling block. Because things change. Things have different meanings today, like Labor Day. Now you know why some churches in the Missouri Synod has changed their name. Like St. John's, Ellisville. You realize the Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is 174 years old. And there's a church 160 years old in St. Louis where the Missouri Synod was founded. And for 150 years, they had one name, St. John's Lutheran Church. And now they changed it because of the stumbling block, because of the culture, because how things have changed and don't mean the same. And they are now called Pathfinders, Pathfinders Church. And they are now one of the top 100 fastest growing churches in America. Now, the name is not important. Listen to me. It is the purpose we're sent. It is the message by grace through faith alone are we saved. And we know this through scripture alone. If we're going to gather Lutherans, then the name Lutheran is very important. But if we're going to gather people who don't know Christ and teach them about Jesus and bring them into the sheepfold, then the name is not that important. It's the purpose that is important. It is the message that is important. It's the kingdom of God is at hand, and we must repent. Now you know why 15 years ago, our Savior Lutheran Church, the East Tulsa campus, signed their name on an initiative called the Ablaze Initiative. It wasn't the Lutheran Initiative. It was the Ablaze Initiative. The Missouri Synod gave it a biblical name. when those disciples knew their hearts were ablaze when they were with Jesus. Let me tell you something about Christians. At one time, they were called followers. Another time, Nazarenes. Sheep. People of the way. And then in Antioch, for the first time, Christians. And since then, Catholics. Eastern Orthodox, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians. Life, church. Pathfinders Church, Ablaze Church. The name always changes. But you know what never changes is the purpose and the message that never changes. Dr. Spomer and I are here before you every weekend to share with you your purpose and the message and the power behind it. That is why we have brought in Walk Through the New Testament, so that you will always know your purpose and the power behind it. In the next 6 weeks, there's a planned message where we're going to talk about God's plan of salvation, God's grand plan. And if that's not enough, if you want to learn more, on Wednesday night for the next 8 weeks, every Wednesday night, starting the 8th, not the 6th, I'm teaching a class called Christianity 101. If you learned anything from my message on Sunday morning, let me tell you, come on a Wednesday night for a couple hours, and I'll be able to teach you a whole lot more because I love teaching. See, there is a purpose and there is a plan. And what we have to do is never forget it. Things always change. And sometimes here at Ablaze, we even have to dust our feet and say, are we doing things right? Is there something we need to change? Is there something we could do better? Yeah. Why? Because what never changes is our purpose and the power of God's word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God under salvation. May we always know our purpose and the power that we have as an individual, as a married couple, as a church, as a denomination, as a gathering of people who call themselves the body of Christ. Amen.